So everyone turn to Philippians 3. And I'm going to read the first three verses. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Paul here in Philippians 3, in these first few verses, he begins with warnings. We are to watch out for some, because the indication here is that some have confidence in this flesh. We are warned against dogs. We see in Scripture God's people are compared to being dogs, and rightfully so. We are all dogs. But God's dogs are just that. His dogs. They have a specific master. These dogs are those that have returned to their own vomit, as we read in 2 Peter chapter 2, and I want to read that. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 17 through 22. 17 through 22. These are whales without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Then we have evil workers. These are worthless toilers. And you know what it is to toil. These that Paul warns us against toil more than most. But their toiling is in vain and it's worthless. They accomplish nothing, and we are talking about before God. They are toiling for righteousness before God. They work, work, work in vain. This work is done as if they are doing something for God, but it is just in their mind. They think they will become righteous by keeping of the law, or they think, I have to stress, they think, that once God does something for them, He enables them then to keep the Ten Commandments. And I always like to say that because that's what it's talking about, the Ten Commandments. Certainly, believers can have thoughts and even actions which tend toward this. But these are not believers, and they cannot keep God's law. Then we have mutilators. Beware of the concision. These are those who insist on circumcising God's people. I mean this, they insist that the people of God be physically circumcised. At this time, they meant the physical act anyway. There may be some who think that today as well, I don't know. But those today who do this kind of thing are those who want to keep the law for sanctification. Those who are progressively getting better. How can those whom Christ has perfected forever get any better? Hebrews 10:14 says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Amen.
We are perfected by a righteousness that is without the law. I want to say this. I have said this before, and others know this, and it has been said by others. But there are those who want to separate out the law of God into different categories. I understand that maybe some do this for study purposes or just to be clear what exactly they're talking about. But this is not what they do. The intentions they have by doing this is they want to teach for doctrines the commandments of men. Exactly. They cannot perform or obey this law, but they compel others to try to keep this law. Yeah. They specifically separate out the Ten Commandments. But even with the Ten Commandments, just as though the Pharisees, those religious of that day, did, they changed the law of God into their traditions. They do not even keep those themselves either, but they compel others to do this. They want to put men and women in bondage. Yes. But they separate them out into generally three categories: moral, civil, and ceremonial. Some may have different terms that they use for these, but it's how they generally separate out God's law in those three different categories. These are smart men. In fact, these men seem to be smarter than the Holy Spirit of God. This word is God-breathed, and God nowhere in His Word separated out His law into different categories. You will not find it in God's Word. We are told in James 2:10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." Amen. Separate out God's word as you will, but God tells us it is all one complete whole, and you must live by the whole thing if that is how you expect to be righteous before God.
Yes, sir.
This righteousness will never come. Because we are also told in Scripture that righteousness does not come by the law. Amen. The law is weak through the flesh, and it is by this flesh that the law must be kept. But it will never happen.
Exactly.
Paul tells us here that we have no confidence in the flesh. We are told here what we are to have is confidence in, and it's not the flesh. So let's look at the following. Verse 3 is my outline. I want to look at circumcision, worship, boasting, and confidence.
Yes.
So first, circumcision. So the Apostle Paul says here, we are talking to God's people. We are the circumcision. This is not a circumcision done by man. That is done by man himself or by another. By man, I mean mankind. Romans 2:28 and 29 we read, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." The praise is not of men because men had nothing to do with this circumcision.
Exactly.
It has nothing to do with the law because it is that circumcision of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter.
Yes.
Colossians 2:11 we read, "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." So God's people are the circumcision made without hands. It is the circumcision done by God to those whom He loves. But we are warned against those who are mutilators. We are talking about religious people. Those who worship God with their mouths, but their uncircumcised hearts are far from God. For them, Christ did not do enough. He did all He could do, and now evidently God has left something up to them to do. Titus 1:10 we read, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision." They of the circumcision were those who were circumcised and held to that as being a part of their salvation. They were usually Jewish, but there could have been some Gentiles in that bunch as well. There are today certainly some religious folks who look to what they do as some merit before God. This includes some who might hold to the doctrines of grace, as men call them. When Paul speaks of circumcision in Galatians, is he just talking about circumcision? Galatians 3:10, "For as many are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." The law is a whole and includes circumcision, and we do not worship the law. So let's look at worship. This word for worship means to render religious honor and respect publicly. This homage or public honor and respect is to one. That is the God of Scripture. For those that this is talking about here, they worship the God of Scripture. This worship is done in a certain way, or they are enabled to do this a certain way. They do this in the Spirit.
Yes.
So those who have been circumcised in heart with the circumcision made without hands, no man was involved in this circumcision, which enables that one who has had this done by his Spirit to worship God, and that not in word only, but in truth, with this new heart by his Spirit. But God enables those who are His by that which He does, and based on what Christ has done, He enables those to worship Him publicly, giving honor and respect. Holy and reverend is His name.
Amen.
This they do as they walk in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8, verses 1 and 2 we read, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death."
Amen.
So we see what this Spirit is. It is the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The Spirit of God testifying to us as we hear the Word of God proclaimed.
Amen.
That can be as we are doing now, or as we are out and about when we testify to one another or to others of His glorious gospel. But His Spirit testifies to who Jesus Christ is and what He has done. When we hear this in the gospel, His Spirit seals that to our hearts that this is true. So this leads me to boasting. Number three, boasting. Because we have been circumcised and the Spirit leads us in worship towards God, there is something or someone, I should say, that we boast in or rejoice in. Jesus Christ. The word rejoice there means boast. There was a rejoice in verse 1. It's a little bit different word there. This rejoice means to boast, and we boast in only one thing. Or one person.
Yes.
This says Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So we boast in Him.
Yes,
Him who we are told in Scripture that has a name which is above every name. Philippians 2 verses 9 and 11, we're told that. 9 through 11. "Wherefore God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father."
Amen.
"At this name every knee shall bow." There are some who will do this who will be cast out in outer darkness. But God be thanked, there are some who do this now. Colossians 1, 17 through 19 we read, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell."
Amen.
That He might have the preeminence.
Amen.
We use this word might differently than what it means in that passage. We use might as we might do this or we might not. There in Colossians 1, it means he became the preeminent. He is first.
Amen.
So it is okay to boast in Jesus Christ. That is to brag on him.
Yes, sir.
In fact, it is paramount that we boast in him. Because if we boast in anything else, we are boasting in this flesh. And this says Jesus Christ is first.
Yes.
He created all things and they were created for him. All things were created so that he might give glory to himself. All things that happen and all things that are created are held together by him. If you see Jesus Christ, then you see the Father.
Yeah.
You boast in Christ, you boast in God. Because it pleased God that in him all fullness dwell. He has done all the work. He does all the work. And he shall do all the work. I have nothing to bring to God that is of any value. Everything I have comes from him. He is where my confidence comes from. So this leads me to confidence. So since I boast in him, I have confidence in him.
Amen.
This means there is no confidence anywhere else, as it states here. This especially means we have no confidence in this flesh. And remember, this is talking to believers. Those who do not believe have nothing but the flesh. But for believers, there is no time when we have confidence in this flesh, especially as it concerns the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. I know some want to talk about the law being in existence from the beginning. I'm not going to argue with them on this point. I'm not saying that it did not. But what I will do is state what God states in his word, Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
Amen.
So according to God, the law entered at some point when it was not there before. This is God's word, and that's what he says, so I believe him. We also read that the law came by Moses. John 1:17, it says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." And one more, Acts 13:39, "And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." Again, this is in God's word, and this is what he says, not me. God says this. This law given by Moses, the Ten Commandments, if you are to keep them, then you will live by them. And we have already read it, Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." And then Romans 10:5, "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." The law cannot give life. Righteousness cannot come by the law. It is not possible because it is weak through the flesh. So we have no confidence in this flesh because it cannot produce a God righteousness, not in any way. So we went over that the people of God are circumcised by God. That circumcision made without hands and this done by his Spirit giving us life and indwelling the child of God, leading him into worship, that is public honor and praise to his name, causing us to boast in him. He created all things for himself to give glory to himself. But he actually accomplished something. That means he did something. He paid the debt of sin I owe.
Amen.
God Almighty was pleased to give himself glory for saving a people for his name. He accomplished this. I did not do anything and I cannot do anything. It is all based on what he has done. And he is the one that circumcises our hearts. And he is the one that leads us. We have no confidence in the flesh, but every confidence in him.
Yes.
So what do we do? We continually boast in him.
Yes,
But be warned, there are some who will have you boast in this flesh. Dogs, evil workers, and mutilators.
Yeah.
They want to glory in your flesh. They want to be able to brag that they got you to do this or got you to do that.
Right.
But God's word is clear, Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. First of all, don't leave out the first part of that verse. For in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Outside of Christ Jesus, there is nothing but flesh, and it can do nothing to please a holy, sovereign God. But in Christ, it is not in doing or not doing. It is not in who you are or who you are not. In Christ Jesus, it says here, and what is it that gives us the ability to glorify Him and not our flesh? Galatians 6, verses 12 through 15, we read, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature.
Amen.
It is God that does it all. This is all done in Christ Jesus the Lord. But He creates us anew, and that new man with the indwelling Spirit of God gives glory, worships the Holy One of Israel. Do not follow after those who have you glory in anything else other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Galatians 2:21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. But righteousness does not come by the law.
Exactly.
Not before you believe. That is, not before you are circumcised without hands, and not after you are circumcised without hands. All is done to His honor and glory, and no glory will be given to you for anything you do. Because when it comes to the law, you cannot do what the law demands.
Exactly.
Those who are circumcised without hands, does it say here in Philippians that they then begin to keep His law? No, in fact, it never says that in God's word at all.
Exactly.
We are enabled by God to worship Him for what He has done. And in fact, the scripture even says, Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure.
Amen.
What do you think His good pleasure is? To worship and praise His name.
Yes, sir.
To do this publicly. To proclaim His name to whomever He allows you to do this. And I want to look at one more thing in closing. Let's read verses 4 through 9 of Philippians 3. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith.
Amen.
Now in Hebrews 11 we read of those who had faith, and this just kind of struck me. We have heard it said, and we have said it ourselves, that obeying God and believing God go hand in hand. This is true. I'm not denying that. You will have both. But just read it here. Hebrews 11:4, we read, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. Abel did this by faith. But are we going to start making sacrifices like Abel? Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Yes.
Are we going to be translated like Enoch? God certainly has the power to do so, and he has the right to do so. But God translated him and not Enoch himself. 11:7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Are we going to build an ark? Is God telling us to build an ark? One last one, Hebrews 11:23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. This says, by faith, Moses, when he was born. Moses did this by faith? It's not saying this. The whole point here is faith does those things toward God. Faith does those things toward God, those things which are well-pleasing to him. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
So what does it all boil down to? What is it that God is telling us to do? Believe the record God gave of his son.
Amen.
Boast in Christ. This we do by faith given us by God, which always looks to him. What does Paul tell us in verse 1? It is not grievous or slothful to say these things over and over. It is, in fact, our security to know these things. This will enable us to rejoice. That is, we can be cheerful, calmly happy, well off when we see him. Oh God, cause me to worship you by his spirit, by your spirit, through faith given by you and the heart circumcised without hands, causing me to boast in Jesus Christ. Seeing him, we have no confidence in our flesh, because there is nothing in this flesh that we can have confidence in. But we have every confidence in what he has done. Amen. Dear Lord, apply your words to our heart, dear Lord, by your Spirit. Only you can do this, dear Lord. Cause us to see you. Dear Lord God, be with those who we have several that are sick, dear Lord. Be with them, heal them in the way you know how to do this, dear Lord. If there's any way, dear Lord, that we can help some of those, dear Lord, may it be that you allow us to do this and cause us to do this. Be with Walker as he stands here to speak, and that he may speak speak your truth in boldness, dear Lord. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.